being a Christian, being a Christian couple, does not insulate you from the pressures and from the troubles of life. And this story reminds us that a marriage can come into times of trouble even when Jesus Christ is present.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and Colin, I'm sure that there are a ton of people listening right now who can identify with that. They would say, if they're going to be honest, you know, that's me. My marriage is in a ton of trouble right now.
Well, I'm so glad that you're listening, because today we're looking at a passage of Scripture that is full of hope for you. It's about a couple who invited Jesus Christ to their wedding. And you would think that if Jesus Christ is present at a wedding, there couldn't be any problems in that marriage at all. But on day one at the wedding, the wine runs out.
Yeah.
And the marvelous part of this story is that we're given an insight into what Jesus Christ is able to do when troubles come to a marriage. And that includes a Christian marriage. I mean, that's the point here. This is a wedding at which Jesus Christ is present. He's invited, and you wouldn't expect there to be a problem there, would you? Well,
right.
There is a problem there. And that's why Jesus is there, because he's able to bring help where there are people who look to him and who have him in their lives. And I hope and pray that today's message is really going to be a help, an encouragement, and a beacon of hope for you.
Well, if you can, grab a Bible and join us in John chapter 2 as we begin a message entitled, Seeing and Believing. Here's Pastor Colin.
We are taking a journey through the Gospel of John, and happily we arrive at a story today that relates to a wedding. And so I do hope that you will open your Bible at John's Gospel and chapter 2, where we read that on the third day there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee. Now, we don't know the name of this particular couple, the bride and the groom, but what we do know is that very wonderfully they had thought to invite Jesus Christ to their wedding. Jesus, verse 2, was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And I want to pause there just for a moment. The significance of Jesus Christ in week one of his ministry attending this great celebration of a wedding is surely full of significance for us. We believe in marriage, right? We believe that this is a wonderful and good and gracious gift of God in which a man and a woman can serve him together over a lifetime as one. And it is very striking that this wedding was the occasion of the very first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder if you've ever thought about this. The first miracle that Moses ever did, first miracle of Moses, was to turn water into blood, which was a sign of the judgment of God. The first miracle Jesus ever did was to turn water into wine, which is the great sign of the blessing of God. And this miracle is really like a portal at the beginning of the gospel. That is, John says in verse 11, it's a sign. It's pointing us to not only who Jesus is, but all of the good, all of the blessing, and all of the joy that he has come into the world to bring. So it is a good thing when Jesus Christ is invited, not only into a wedding, but let's put it more broadly, Jesus Christ is invited into a marriage. For those who may be in the process of, at some point, choosing who you will love, it's a really good question to ask, can Jesus Christ be at the center of this love? And in choosing who you will marry, it is really important to ask yourself, will Jesus Christ be at the center of this marriage? And for those who are married today, remember that if you say, we must put our marriage first, what you just did is you made your marriage into an idol. I know we say these things casually, but think about it. If you say we must put our marriage first, you just made your marriage an idol, and anything that you put in the place of God is not going to do well or to know his blessing. What you should say instead is let us put Jesus Christ first in our marriage. That's the place in which the blessing of God is known and in which it is found. Now, as we turn to this marvelous story today, I want to make two observations with regards to marriage from the story. And the first is simply this, that a marriage where Jesus is present can still run into trouble. A marriage where Jesus Christ is present can still run into trouble. We have that very, very clearly here. These marriage wedding ceremonies in the time of Jesus and in that culture went on for a long time, so they're well into the early days of the marriage, and we're told here, verse 2, that the wine ran out. Now try and picture this. Here's a marriage that has begun really well. The wedding celebration has got off to a great start. But now there's some days in, and what had begun well, while people outwardly still seem to be having a marvelous time, there is a problem that is emerging already behind the scenes. The wine ran out. And John in verse 11 says that what Jesus did when the wine ran out was a sign. And the sign, of course, is always something that points beyond itself. It's something that points to something else of even greater significance. And so what we have here is pointing us to the kind of thing that Jesus Christ is able to do for people who experience, as it were, the wine running out in our lives today. Now, let me pause there and just try and press this home. There will be couples here in the church today who started out with genuine love and deep affection. And for some time, the wine of your love was flowing freely. But now it seems, this is a very apt picture for you, as if the wine is running out. In other words, in your experience, what once brought you great joy and great gladness no longer seems to be present in the way that it was before. And the problem, as it was at this wedding, is actually behind the scenes. Right now, perhaps only a very few folks know. You know. You know that the wine is running out. That's your experience. And even if you and your spouse have never actually openly talked about this, if you know, you can be very sure that your spouse knows as well, even if you have not spoken about it. And there may be some folks who are close to you and observe your home, observe your marriage, and they're close enough to have guessed that things seem to be running dry. Everyone else thinks that everything is just fine in your home and in your family, but behind the scenes there is a problem. That's what we have in this story. The wine is running out, and here's the problem for you. You don't know what to do about it. And so you find yourself thinking, but wait a minute, we are Christians. Jesus Christ is present in our lives. How can the wine be running out for us when Jesus Christ is present? We have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. We have made Jesus Christ the Lord of our home. How can it be running out for us? And of course, what we're reminded of is actually what we know very well from the New Testament, that being a Christian couple, does not insulate you from the pressures and from the troubles of life. And this story reminds us that a marriage can come into times of trouble even when Jesus Christ is present. The Bible is such a wonderful book. It speaks directly into all of the realities of our lives. Now, that's the first observation. And here's the second. And it's full of hope that a marriage can run into trouble, but where Jesus Christ is present, there is wonderful hope. And this surely is the main point of the story. Trouble came, the wine was running out, but Jesus Christ was present. And he turned water into wine. And this is a sign, John says, not only of who he is, but of what he is able to do, and of why indeed he came into the world. He comes into a world where things are not going as planned. I mean, here they've got all of the wedding organized, thought they had enough to endure for all of these days. We were supplied. We have all that we need. But now they're finding that things have not gone as planned. Jesus comes into a world where things in our lives are not going according to plan, and where joy and blessing that we once knew and that we thought would continue seems to be running out. Now, framing the story so that we see how it speaks to us today, the obvious question is this: how then did this remarkable work of Jesus Christ happen, in which water was turned into wine? And how in particular can this great gift of joy being restored, of gladness being replenished, how can these things happen for people like us? Folks who are single, folks who are married, folks for whom life has not gone according to plan. When we come to these experiences, in whatever state of life you are in, where you feel the wine is running out for me, how can what Jesus did here be our experience, and how can we know that for ourselves? Well, that's a great reason for looking at this story, isn't it? It's full of promise as we come with an open Bible and an open heart today.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Seeing and Believing, and this message has been one of the most listened to of the past year. We went back, we looked at what have been the most downloaded and requested messages, and we've compiled the top 10 in a series we're calling Listener Favorites. This is our thank you gift to you as you give a gift and support Open the Bible this month. You can give online and learn more about this when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. If you did join us a little bit late, we're in the book of John, chapter 2, so grab a Bible and meet us there as we get back to the message.
Now, I want to offer three answers to that question: how did these things happen then, and therefore, how do they happen today? And the first of these answers is simply this: ask Jesus and submit to his purpose. There's the first. Ask Jesus and submit to his purpose. That's how this great miracle of Jesus came to pass. Here we're going to look for a moment at the marvelous example of Mary, the mother of our Lord, who features very prominently in the story. Now, if you have the Bible open in front of you, will you just notice with me how prominent Mary is? Verse 1, the mother of Jesus was there. Verse 3, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Verse 4, Jesus said to her, that is, he spoke these words to Mary, his mother. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, I want to make two observations from the marvelous example of Mary in this story. And the first is that prayer involves asking help from Jesus. Mary is the one who recognizes that there is a problem behind the scenes, and very wonderfully and very beautifully, she brings the problem to Jesus. Verse 3, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And so don't miss the significance of what is happening here. Here is a woman who recognizes that there is a problem, and her first instinct is that she must bring it to Jesus. And it's a marvelous example and model of prayer. John Bunyan said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. That's very helpful. There is more, as we're going to see this morning, than prayer. And you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. This is the first thing, and nothing else happens apart from it. We're asking the question, how did the water get turned into the wine? How was it that Jesus did this remarkable work that only he could do? And the first thing is that there was this situation of need that was actively brought to him. Now, would it not be a good thing if some couples who know in their hearts that the wine is running out were to say, we cannot go on pretending that all is well when we know that it is not. We must ask for help. And the first person we must ask for that help is Jesus Christ. We must follow the example of Mary. And we must recognize where there is a need, where there is a problem, and we must bring it to Jesus. Now, notice the surprising response of our Lord to Mary's request. Verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now, Jesus refers to this hour seven times in John's Gospel. And on each of these seven occasions, it refers to the time when he became subject to the will of others. The hour would come when he was given into the hands of sinners. And when that hour came, they would scourge him and they would condemn him and they would crucify him. But Jesus says repeatedly throughout the Gospel of John, and this is the first occasion where we see it, "My hour has not yet come." And the fact that Jesus says this to Mary, "The hour when I am put into the hands of others has not yet come," the fact that he says that to Mary is full of significance for us. See, here's what it means. Mary is not in a position of bending Christ to her will. He is not subject to her will. She may come and she may ask, but Christ is not under an obligation to do what she asks, or indeed is he under an obligation to do what any of us ask. Christ is the mediator between us and God. Mary is not the mediator between us and Jesus Christ. And one of the important things that we see here in this story is, in fact, that she is in exactly the same position as we are. She has the ear of Christ, and so do you. But she must submit to Christ, and so must you. Now, this leads to another observation that is very important here. The prayer not only involves asking the help of Jesus, but prayer also involves submitting yourself to the purpose of Jesus. And again, I want you to notice how Mary gives us such a wonderful example of exactly this. She asks help from Jesus, and then she submits herself to Jesus. And that's why she says in verse 5, "His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.'" Now, here's the thing. You come in your need and you ask something of Jesus Christ. The wine's running out, Jesus. You do not know how Jesus Christ will use what is happening in your life to advance his great purpose, his loving purpose for you. You do not know how he will use what burdens you to advance his own great purpose. But what you can be absolutely sure of is this, that he certainly will. When the wine is running out, Jesus Christ will show his glory, but it is not for you to tell him precisely how or precisely when. And that's the great significance of Mary's marvelous example here. She brings the need that she recognizes to Jesus, and then she submits herself to his great purpose. Now, that's always at the heart of true prayer. It involves asking of Jesus. It involves submitting yourself to Jesus. So here's how you pray where the wine is running out. You say, "Lord Jesus Christ, here is what is happening. Here is the need." You lay it before him. And you ask him to advance his great purpose in your life, in and through this situation. In other words, husband, you don't come to Christ and say, "The wine's running out in my marriage, so please change her." You don't, wife, come and say, the wine is running out in my marriage, so please change him. What you are invited to do is to come and to bring the need, the wine is running out in our marriage, before the Lord hears the reality of what we are facing. And Lord Jesus, our great desire is that your glory would be revealed and that your great purpose would be advanced, and we are ready to do anything towards that end. And if your spouse is not in a position where he or she is ready to come with you in that kind of prayer, take the initiative and start praying that way yourself. Lord Jesus Christ, you know the wine is running out. And I want that your glory should be revealed. And I'm ready for whatever that will take. Lord, advance your great purpose even here and in this. So here's the first thing. How did this miracle happen? Mary asks and submits herself to the will of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we can do today. Wonderful thing for us to do. The first thing for us to do whenever we experience the wine running out.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Seeing and Believing. And I hope that as you've been listening to Pastor Colin talk about these first few verses from John chapter 2, you've been reminded of how God, who has given us this gift of marriage, can restore and can bless and can renew. I hope that you've been encouraged to think about what it means to ask Jesus and to submit to his purpose. And while we do have to pause the message here, we will continue next time. So I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Well, John Aiello is the executive director here at Open the Bible. He's been here for 12 years, and he joins me now in the studio.
Hey, thanks, Steve. You know, people often ask if our team has a specific Bible verse that motivates us, and I always answer John chapter 9, verse 4, where Jesus said to us, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." You know, the work of him who sent Jesus is the same work that we've been blessed with at Open the Bible, to share the gospel far and wide. Every show we broadcast, every book we publish, every podcast we create is an invitation for people everywhere to explore God's word, to meet Jesus, and to hear the gospel loud and clear. And it makes a difference. Here's a note we recently received from a listener. When I first listened to Open the Bible, several close family members had just died. I was lost and full of grief. I wanted to sleep and never wake up, but I heard Pastor Colin speak about a God who is close to the brokenhearted. I stayed in my car just to listen to his comforting words. I met Jesus thanks to this program, and I thank you for sharing God's word with the lost people like myself. May it comfort and save many, many more. Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. For us to reach more people like this listener, we depend entirely on generous financial assistance from folks who, like us, believe strongly in the transformational power of an open Bible. Part of my job is to ask for that assistance. If you already support Open the Bible, thank you so much. Your continued help is truly appreciated. If you've never donated to our ministry, if you've been learning, growing, benefiting from Pastor Colin's teaching, but have never taken that step of giving, I'm officially asking for your help. And this is the perfect month to get off the sidelines. We recently had a generous donor agree to match dollar for dollar every first-time gift that we received during the month of July. This is huge for us. Please make this the month that you decide to join us in ministry. As our way of saying thanks to all donors this month, we will send you the most listened to, most downloaded messages from Pastor Colin this year in a CD set that we call Listener Favorites 2023. All donors this month will receive this CD set. For first-time donors only, in addition to your gift, match dollar for dollar, we will also send you a gift subscription to our daily devotional booklet called Open the Bible Daily for the remainder of 2023. You will love this devotional. To give today, please visit openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365.
Well, thanks, John. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Sometimes you wonder what good could possibly come from the basic things that Christ is calling you to do. Find out on the next Open the Bible.